All right, it is statistics time. Who likes statistics? All right, Mike, thank you. I'll talk to you this morning. So there was a national poll that was taken in 2017 where people were asked this question: are you happy? Nationally, anybody want to take a stab at what percentage of people said, yes, I am happy? Anybody want to throw a number out? What percent do you think nationally said, yes, I'm happy? Yes. 73%. 73% of America is happy. Anybody else got a guess? 12%, 15, 20. All right. Nobody has said the actual number, which, you know, is 33% of America said they were happy in 2017. So we're 2 years down the road. I don't know whether that have gone up and down, but 33% said they were happy. Now, same year, 2017, different poll, people were asked this question: are you satisfied with your life? Anybody want to take a stab at that one?
1%.
1%. Anybody else? 6%. Let's throw that number up. 86% said they were satisfied with their unhappy life. They are satisfied, but not happy. It's interesting, isn't it? I don't think we have a good grip on what satisfaction is supposed to look like or what we should be satisfied with. I think a big part of that is in that I don't think most people have ever experienced true satisfaction. I think they've experienced complacency, but I think very few people have ever experienced true satisfaction. Today, we're going to look at that because I would contend that even most Christians aren't living the way we should, with the right goals in mind, with the right measure of success, of satisfaction. We're content with just trying to get by when God wants us to dream God-sized dreams. God wants us to experience more than just status quo, which is, I think, where most people, unfortunately, have settled into. And dreams are powerful motivators. The direction our lives take are hugely influenced by our dreams and our direction. You know, in the Bible, dreams play a pretty significant role in a number of people's lives. Jacob dreamed about a ladder. Joseph, Jacob's son, dreamed about his future leadership. Another Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, dreamed about the son he would raise and the blessing that he would be to the world. Dreams gave a lot of direction and shaping to people's lives in Bible times. The dream of today of being a big league ball player can cause a young man to practice hours a day and sacrifice a lot of other activities. The dream of ending up with the man or woman of your dreams can push you to become a better person. The dream of seeing a relative who is trapped by their past be freed by God's love can motivate you to have conversations you might normally shrug off or just shy away from. But the other side of that coin is also true. Dreams can also destroy us when things don't go as planned. When your 20-year-old marriage ends in divorce and you still don't understand why. When you lose a loved one early on in life to cancer. When your kids don't follow a path to success but make destructive choices. When you're the clear front runner for a leadership position at your company and you get passed over for a vice president's nephew. That's always fun. Last November, we heard from Jim Peters, who is one of the missionaries that we support here at Trilogy, about how he goes to military hospitals in Germany, San Diego, Washington, D.C. He gives gifts to wounded soldiers. And he talks about their injuries and the potential that they had, these injuries, to destroy any hopes for the future they once held. I mean, we're talking about missing limbs, eyesight gone, permanent disfigurement, all in the name of our freedom. And the common thread through every one of the crushing examples that I just shared is that every one of these individuals has a choice. How will they respond to the adversity that they're currently experiencing? How does it affect their dreams for the future? What if plan A doesn't work out and we have to shift to plan B? What do we do? How do we respond? How do we move forward? Throughout this series, we're going to look at the life God has called us to. What has God called us to experience in this life? And if you look at the picture on the screen behind me, it's a pretty shot. It's nice enough, and this is the life most followers of Jesus are living. It's nice, it's pretty, it's okay. Now, before I show the next picture, I want you to know this was much more impressive on my computer. When you run it through the projector that we have and then put it rear projected on a screen, it loses a lot of oomph. So just use your brain to kind of say, ooh, that was really cool, okay? Not the life that Jesus came to bring us. Okay, the color didn't pop on this screen the way it did on my computer. It's really sad to me. And I got here and I kind of flipped through it. I'm like, oh, because that's a really impressive sunset, okay? It's awesome. So close your eyes. Imagine for a second the most spectacular sunset you've ever seen in your life. Huh? Okay. No, wait. Keep your eyes closed. Imagine it in black and white. Now turn the color back on. Okay. All right. Now you're with me. Awesome. It took a little more work, but I think we got there. Now, this is a completely different story when we see it with the color added. Too many followers of Jesus are living black and white lives when Jesus came to bring us life with the color added. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to give us a life that is radically different from the rest of the world, a life that is filled with dreams, with purpose, with color. Jesus came to make our lives vivid, to make our lives pop, to make our lives jump off the page. Our lives should stand out in a crowd. People should see a follower of Jesus and say, there is something different. No follower of Jesus should ever be able to blend in with the crowd. Unfortunately, that's simply not the case for a lot of people who call Jesus their Savior. John 10:10 says this, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This passage talks about the life Jesus came to lead us into, came to demonstrate for us. All that came before him, Jesus said a few verses before this, were thieves and were robbers. There are tons of voices that are leading us in other directions in this life. There's a lot of people saying, this is the way. This is the way you need to go. This is where you can find happiness. Here's where you can find satisfaction. This is what success looks like. Trying to tell us that they have the answer to satisfaction in life. Trying to show us that this is the way we're supposed to go. But Jesus said that he was the one who would take us there and that everyone else is a counterfeit. It's life without color. It's not the vivid life that you can experience with Jesus. And today I want to kick things off by looking at Joseph and how God helped to shape his future by giving him a dream of what his future would be like. And what happened when that dream seemingly came crashing down around him. Because here's the thing. I know there are some of you who are living kind of humdrum, mediocre lives. You're waiting for something. You're waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for something to kick into gear. But there's others of you who are living in the aftermath of shattered dreams. Your dreams have been blown up. For you, it's more than just needing the color added. You need your dreams restored. You need Jesus to show you the way forward. Next week, we're going to really dive deep into that John 10:10 verse and really that whole passage and look at what does God really mean when he talks about a rich and satisfying life and where do we take that? That's where we're going to go next week. But I wanted to start off by talking to those who have had a dream shattered. And what does God want to show you through that? Let's look at the life of Joseph. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 9. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. Guess how many brothers he had? 11. You can imagine this second dream went over as well as the first one did. See, here's the thing. Dreams aren't always meant to be shared in every context. Sometimes they're for you. This was a powerful dream for the future and described the position of authority God was going to place him in. But Joseph shared the dream with his family and his brothers. Admittedly, they a little justifiably freaked out. Okay? They ended up selling him into slavery, convincing their father that he had been killed by wild animals. Okay, maybe this wasn't exactly justifiable behavior. But this was hardly the next step that Joseph probably imagined in seeing his dream become reality. God spoke to Joseph, said, hey, you're going to be a leader. I'm going to cause everybody to honor you and respect you. And you're going to be a leader of your family. You're going to be a leader even beyond that. And he gave him these powerful dreams. And all of a sudden, now he is sold into captivity in Egypt. So what do we do when our dreams or God's dreams for us don't happen exactly like we think they should? What do we do when we're going full speed ahead towards those dreams and all of a sudden the door gets slammed shut in our face? What do we do when we have to go the plan B route? When our picture-perfect outcome seems a lifetime away because of where the road seems to be leading us, which is not towards the dream that God gave you? Can God operate through plan B? Let's take a look. Sometimes dreams can be shattered before they even have a chance to become reality. And sometimes we can actually be part of the cause of our dreams being destroyed. Sometimes God gives us dreams that seem utterly ridiculous, like the probability of Joseph ever ruling over his family. Maybe we're not smart enough, we're not talented enough, we're not strong enough to see it become reality. And the problem here is that we try to fit God-given dreams into man-sized ability. Don't ever evaluate a God-given dream based on man-sized ability. It will never happen sometimes is what we think. We need to understand that God will equip us. He will give us everything we need to help those dreams become reality. If God calls you to do the work, God will give you the strength to make it work. I promise you, planting a church was never on my radar. Not even close. Not my gifting, not where I shine, not what I'm supposed to do. I was supposed to do all sorts of other things, but those weren't God's dreams for me. They were mine. And when I stopped and I ramp checked the direction I was going and I said, God, what do you want me to do? Lo and behold, God put a dream in my heart that didn't come from me. And it was to move to Texas and to plant a church. And we've been on this journey, and what it has taught me every step of the way is I cannot evaluate a God-given dream based on man-sized ability, on what my limitations are, on what I think is possible, on what I think is probable. And I need to yield to the one who gave me the dream in the first place. Now, there's a couple of ways we can respond to these dreams. No way can I or will I ever be able to do that. We put up these barriers. I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough, I'm not spiritual enough. Excuses come to our brain, and at this point, we can choose either of the two paths that are in front of us. We can say, no way, God, sorry, but that dream can't be right. There's no way I can ever do that, and we close it down, and we take the path that looks easier, that looks possible. And in doing so, we close the door on a God-sized adventure that not only would affect your destiny, but that of other people as well. Or the other option is we can shake our heads saying, God, I don't understand, but I'll play along and I'll see how you work all this out. And we begin to climb. And we go as far as we can in our strength. And then we say, God, you've got to carry me the rest of the way. One thing to remember is that God will never give you a task without enabling you or without changing the situation for us to accomplish that task. Joseph's dream did not come true right away. It took years for his dream to become reality. God had to prepare him for this dream to become reality. You see, when this dream became reality, Joseph was not the same kid who bragged about his dream to his brothers. He was not the same person. He didn't have the same emotional immaturity. God's will is often a process, not a final destination. And we need to be people of the process. We need to be willing to flow where God is leading. And really, that's what the name of our church, that's what the name Trilogy is all about. It's about story. It's about writing new stories each and every day. It's not about having arrived. I mean, anyone feel like you've already arrived, like you're there, you've made it, you're at the finish line? It's about a lifelong process of becoming the people God designed us to be, about becoming more like Jesus. I love this quote by a pastor from California named Irwin McManus. He said this: the process of becoming the person God wants us to be usually doesn't come from success, success, success. It's loss, success, failure, success, heartbreak, success, disappointment, success. I love that because it's so biblical. I mean, really, if you look at the lives of people in Scripture who were following after Jesus, this is the kind of life that they lived. They had hard times, but then they relied on God, and God saw them through. And then they faced another difficulty, and then God saw them through, and then more adversity, and then God saw them through. And through all of that, God is shaping us. And the next thing I want you to see is that we can't judge the reality of God's plan based on circumstances or the reactions of others. Guys, this is massive. You cannot judge whether God's plan is real or not based on what's going on around you or based on the reactions of other people. For those of you who are reading the Bible plan with us right now, and we're, you know, we've read Job a whole lot lately, let me tell you, if Job based his life on the reactions of people around him, he would have ended up in a very dark place. But Job didn't base it on the reaction of people around him. He didn't base it on the circumstances that had happened to him. None of that was where his foundation was laid. You see, sometimes the dream that God gives you will cause a negative reaction from other people. Joseph shared his dream with his family, and the hatred for Joseph increased to the point of violence. In their minds, the brothers were stopping the dream by getting rid of the dreamer. Now, people may not try to get rid of you when you share your dreams, but they'll try to get rid of the dream. There are dream killers all over the place. In every one of our lives, there are people who would try to kill our dreams. Sometimes people will try to stop you with negative talk, or they'll simply be unsupportive or silent when you talk about the dream God has given you. But you can't allow their reaction to slow you down or hold you back. If this is what you believe God has called you to do and it lines up with Scripture, you keep going, and those shaking their heads will eventually see God's plan become reality. Keep your ears open to God and keep your attention focused on Him. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. When we are running, we've got to fix our eyes on one point, and that is Jesus. He's the one we're following. He's the one who's leading us. He's the one who has called us. He's the dream giver. He's the one, the song that has, like, played out on Air One completely now. He is the way maker, okay? He is the one who will make a way for us. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Him. God will see you through, and sometimes you're going to need it. There are days where you're following God's dream and you're able to move forward purely on your own strength. You can do that. There are days where that's possible. God has equipped you. You can do that. But guess what? There are a whole lot more days where you try to make it on your own strength and you are going to fall flat on your face. We need to lean on the strength of Jesus. And we will need His strength, because if you look at the story of Joseph, the next part of his story involves rejection, betrayal, slavery, and even prison time for Joseph. Guys, this is not exactly the trajectory that you envision for someone God has chosen to lead, is it? I mean, that you would end up in a prison cell just wasting away. The truth is that the story that led to his dream becoming reality was not easy for Joseph. He had to grow up, he had to mature, he had to develop total dependence on God for this to become reality. And here's the thing we often miss as we go through our own circumstances. Every one of those things that he experienced are critical pieces of the puzzle that likely would not have happened if he had stayed home, where he was spoiled and provided for, and his dad gave him pretty coats that his brothers didn't get. And it was through his brother's betrayal, it was through the adversity, it was through the time in prison that God changed Joseph into the person he needed to be in order to see the dream become reality. All of those things that we look at saying, oh, that was horrible. Oh, that was horrible. Oh, that was horrible. Yes, they were horrible circumstances that God used to orchestrate the path that Joseph needed to walk to become the man that God needed him to be to lead. And here's the truth that every one of us needs to wrap our heads around with regards to our circumstances. God's will is as much about the person we're becoming as it is about where we're going. What you experience, what you go through, yes, it's relevant, but it's more relevant in the context of who is God recreating me to be? What is the person God is shaping me to become? Maybe the journey to your big dream will be difficult. Hopefully you won't end up in prison along the way, but it could take you through experiences that could cause doubt or despair or even depression. Some of you need to really pay attention right now because your dream has been shattered. It's blown up. You're not sure you can even move forward, let alone realize this crazy dream for the future, how God could use you. You're wondering like Job did, where did God go? Is he still here? Here's what you need to hear this morning. God never abandoned Joseph, and he will never abandon you. He was with Joseph in the pit that his brothers threw him into. He was with Joseph as he was shackled into captivity in Egypt. He was with Joseph when he got thrown into prison. He was with Joseph every step of the way. No matter what happens, no matter what you experience, God won't let you go. Don't stop believing in the dream, and don't ever stop believing in the God who gave it to you. Joseph's dream was a big one, an unbelievable glimpse into the future God had planned for him. And when it came true, this is what Joseph said to his brothers. Now imagine this, we're talking decades later. Joseph is now risen to become the number two in all of Egypt. And now his brothers are coming to him for help. They don't even know it's him. And eventually it all comes out and Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. I am Joseph, the one you threw into slavery, you know, all those years ago. And his brothers freak out because they think they're going to die. And this is what Joseph said to his brothers in chapter 50, verses 19 through 21 of Genesis. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Guys, do you think that Joseph, who bragged about his dream when he was a little kid, would have had the maturity to make this statement to his brothers? No way! God has shaped Joseph and changed him completely. Joseph recognized that God had a hand in everything that happened. God was leading Joseph. God was shaping Joseph. God was recreating him. Every chapter of the story, every page that turned, Joseph was becoming more of the person that God needed him to be. Are you willing to dream big for God? Yes, there may be disappointments. Maybe even ridicule as it unfolds. But if we hold true to the course that God has placed in front of us, it will be an adventure that only God can provide and will end in our dreams becoming reality as we follow where God is leading. Another reason we can't ever give up on God-given dreams is because our faith has to rest on God's identity, not his activity. Our faith has to rest on God's identity, not his activity. Who God is, not what God does. We tend to think we know a lot and we see a lot and we're so limited, but we think we have God pegged. We think we have him figured out. Whereas the Bible describes a very, very different thing. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." Another translation says, "His greatness is unsearchable." You cannot figure out God, so stop trying. We can't even understand the existence of God, let alone his power. God exists outside of time. He created time. He is eternal. We are temporal. We flow through time while God sees it from the outside looking in. He sees all time at once. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but to God, it already has. Well, it is. You see, God is. He is the I am. He's not the I was or the I will be. He is. God exists. And if we're going to believe in God's plan, then we also have to trust his timing. And who better than to trust the timing of than the person who created time itself, who sees time from the outside. He sees all things that are unfolding in our timeline. He sees them as if they already are. We can trust his timing. And we say, but everything around me is falling apart. Matthew 6:25 says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Is Jesus saying you shouldn't be concerned about the fact that you lost your job, the economy's tanking, your marriage is unraveling, your kids are straying, or your friend is dying? Absolutely not. He's just saying, I want to give you a different perspective on it. I want to help you retrain your mind. And here, maybe you'll understand this verse in a different way when I read this now in Romans 12:2, which says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now get this, he wants to retrain the way we think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When you put this in the context of the struggles and the adversity that God may be leading you through to change you into the person that he needs you to be, to live into the dreams that he has given you, that is why we need to change the way we think, because then we can learn God's will. Then we can truly embrace God's will for our lives. You see, we tend to think that God is only with us when things are working like we think they should. And all of our life evaluation charts are moving up and to the right. We think that our plan B situations are signs that we're not where God wants us to be. But the Bible paints a very different picture. In fact, you look at the people who were firmly entrenched in God's plan, Joseph being one of them. You look at the life of Paul being another. These are people who are living God's mission, living into the dream that God has for them. And their life was anything but a bed of roses. They met adversity and struggle every step of the road. And some of us, we hear what I'm saying right now and we cringe because we're like, well, that doesn't feel good. Guys, the Bible's not supposed to make us feel good. The Bible's supposed to be truth that points us to Jesus. You're going to feel good in heaven. This life is not about feeling good, and I know that's the antithesis of the American dream and American culture, which says everything you do has to make you happy. And we're supposed to enjoy every moment of our lives. Guys, that is simply not a biblical worldview or a biblical mindset. You're going to struggle. You're going to face hard times. And I know I can't go on TV and preach this because nobody would send me money. Sorry. But the reality is, it is hard to follow Jesus. To live his dream for your life is difficult. Planting this church, moving to Texas, planning this church, working multiple jobs, having my family wonder where Dad went most every day is not easy, church. And I'm not saying, whoa, feel bad for your pastor. No. Because you guys all have different stories where God is leading you and you're struggling in different areas and you're facing adversity. But what I know is this, if we are pursuing the path that God has for us, there is no better path we can walk. And no matter how many walls get in our way, no matter how many hurdles we have to climb over, at the end of the day, Jesus is going to be glorified by my choices in life. And guys, that's my prayer for you. Follow the dream God has given you, wherever he's leading. We think our suffering is a sign that we're getting something wrong, not evidence that God is at work to teach us and to bless us. But Joseph got it right. In the middle of one crisis after another, Joseph made one very critical decision that is just as critical for us. He was choosing to believe in the who instead of the what. Joseph believed in who God is. To trust the God of the circumstances instead of trusting the circumstances and what his eyes could see. Chrisanne, could you come on up? Why are you going through what you're going through? I don't know. Is what you're doing God's will for your life? I don't know. Will it be over soon? I don't know that either. You may not know now, and you may never know. I know this is really fun message. In this lifetime, many of your questions simply won't get answered. But through it all, God himself will never change. That is why our faith has to be on God's identity and not his activity. God is good, God is perfect, and God's plans are best. He is the God who is faithful. He is the God who keeps his promises, the God who is with us at every moment, and who is at this very moment is working all things out for good. Even when bottom seems to be falling out and bad news keeps our heads spinning, even in the middle of plan B, we really only have one task and one calling, and that is do what you would do if you were certain God was with you, because he is. Live your life the way you would live it, as if you were certain God was with you, because he is. Guys, here's my final thought that I want to share with you this morning. Several times I've mentioned plan B. And, you know, when we're following the dream and all of a sudden we're going in a different direction and we're having to figure out, well, how do I make plan B work? And guys, I want you to understand something. With God, there is no plan B. It's just the plan. It's all part of the process. The life you're living, the experiences you're having, God is using them to shape you, to grow you. And if we lean into God and pursue everything he has for us, we will experience the vivid, more abundant, rich, and satisfying life that Jesus died to bring us. And that's the life we're going to talk about next week. It'll be a whole lot more fun. But I really felt like this foundation needed to be laid this week so we could understand and have some, so we could have some context for what we experience in this life. You're going to have some things you don't understand. It just hurts. It's just painful. It's just something we don't enjoy. Those things are going to be there. But through it all, God is God. God is with you. And God is leading. Keep following. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?